I'm to visit with Jesse Green, state senator, and get a chance to get updated on what's going on with the legislative session. And Jesse, first, thanks for taking some time to visit with us.
Hey, you bet. Always a pleasure.
All right. Been busy. You guys are getting down towards the end, and this is, I mean, we're getting into a lot of the finance things, ways and means, appropriation stuff. Got a couple of other things that are out there, some policy-related things, but pushing towards the end right now.
Yeah, this was a very busy week in the Senate. You know, as most people saw, we were up till 5 a.m., so, we're moving right along, and there's a chance we'll get done on time. The last day of session is technically supposed to be April 28th, but you know, it sometimes the last 2 years since I've been here, it's always gone over time. But negotiations are going well. It sounds like leadership has agreed to a budget target, and so those negotiations are happening on the budgets, it's moving right along.
That's the budget part. That's the one that always, for listeners, I mean, we talk about we're $70 million apart or $90 million apart. In the overall scheme of things, not a lot, but sometimes that House, they just hold out. They've got a couple of different ideas they want to do, or the Senate would like to do it a little bit different with some of the resources. Just a matter of finally getting everything together. So to have an agreement, at least at leadership, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so the Senate rolled out some bills that just didn't have any numbers in them, and which kind of caught some people off guard. But the reality is the governor came out with some very good numbers, kind of a status quo budget, a lot of 3% increases with some stuff. But the House was originally, I believe, $90 million over the governor, or $70 million, something like that. And just like the last couple of years, we were able to meet right in the middle. I believe that the House is going to be $30 million over the governor's target number. So, it's going to move right along now. And one thing that kind of slowed the process down too is with the governor's realignment bill. There's a lot of new line items within the budget that budget chairs, at least in the Senate, kind of needed a little extra time to kind of get to know those issues and to come to better decisions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, at least from what I kept reading and stuff like that, just how she had an idea of what she wanted in the realignment. We're guessing on how this is going to work and some things here. Probably fine-tuning it, but at least enough to keep everything going.
Yeah, it's moving right along. I think actually the biggest topics that might hold us up from getting out on time is it's going to be the property tax bill. Mm-hmm. Both the Senate and the House now have passed out their versions. They're quite a bit different from each other, so I imagine it's going to be a pretty small group that come together next week and to try to blend those two bills together somehow. And there's no way we can leave the legislature without passing some sort of reform with that. And I was really proud of the Senate's bill because at the end of the day, I think if you're going to talk real long-term reform, you have to kind of plug some of the holes that are in the property tax bucket. And there's a lot of unused levies that need to go away, and we need to streamline and simplify the property tax system before we can further those conversations in the future. And the Senate kind of laid out a three-year or a multi-year phase approach to reforming property taxes, and this is step number one. And so I think that's going to be definitely the biggest issue that could potentially take us a little bit longer.
I noticed one of the things that the Senate did, that you guys did do, was on some of your credits, the elderly credit, veterans credits, things like that, making some improvements there. A lot of those numbers haven't changed very much lately.
No, we in the Senate's property tax bill, we turned some of those credits into exemptions, and right away that, if I remember right, is going to provide about 40-some million in relief just by doing that. Overall, when you're looking at our tax system, whether it's income tax or sales tax, and property tax. When you're in this environment where we're under one-party control right now, there's absolutely no excuses not to simplify the tax code all the way up and down and try to wean off those credits and make things more competitive and simpler.
That's one of the things, because so much, at least at the local level, is based on property taxes. So that's some of the challenges I know you run into. Again, there's so much on education. Again, all the cities and counties, basically their operations are based on property tax.
Certainly, and with the property taxes, you know, you got some cities and counties that do it responsibly, and some other cities and counties that aren't so responsible, and so that's why I think putting caps on either revenue increases or assessment increases sometimes can have some unintended consequences. It's just not that simple. If there was a silver bullet that would fix this, it would have been fixed a long time ago. We had bipartisan support on both property tax bills. I think every senator except for one voted for the Senate's version, and I know in the House is. If it wasn't unified, it was pretty close over there as well. So, it's complicated. But I've had a few cities come to me and be like, well, you know, if you guys cut our revenues right now, you know, we might have to lay off a police officer or something like that. And sometimes those conversations surprise me because those are your number one things you want to fund first before you fund additional sidewalk paths or bike trails or something like that. So there's definitely been some sensitive and interesting conversations that have come up as a result.
Yeah, bottom line is decisions on what has to be done would be back at the local level, what they have to do. We've talked about this before. We talked about the assessments that came out. We know that, the market assessments. We knew they were going up. We knew they were going up across the state just because of the formulas that's been in place. We also know the state does the rollback, anticipating that that's going to drop to, somewhere around maybe 46, 47 in that range next year. And again, we keep telling people this is coming in 24. That's the big challenge. It is so complicated to try to grasp the whole thing and have people understand it. They look at the one number, a levy, something like that, and there's so many hands in there. There are so many different things.
And one thing that I do appreciate from that I think will be interesting in this approach is everybody's eyes goes to the schools. They are the highest percentage of the property tax bill, and of course I think there's always ways we can manage money better. But one thing's for sure is if we are to buy down some of the property tax levies, that would be one levy that I think in this good fiscal environment that we're in, that we can afford to buy that down. And it would, based on the formula, that'd be one of the hardest ones for them to instantly increase and not pass those savings on to the taxpayer. So I know the House had quite a bit of conversation on that, and there's a little bit of that in the Senate as well.
So we've got the two versions, and I know, will it be leadership that'll be going back and forth? Because I know yours goes over, they'll do something to it, or how do you get together on that? Who's going to sit down and start talking about with the differences?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that at the end of the day, it's going to be the Ways and Means Chair and both the House and the Senate and the staffers. And our staffer has been here at the Capitol for, I think, close to 30 years. So there's just so much expertise that's there. And I'm sure it's going to be a small handful of people and with leadership and staff. And they'll hash it out. That'd be a very interesting conversation to be a fly on the wall. But
don't you want to be in there?
it would be fun. That'd be a learning experience. But that's above my pay grade.
Okay. Well, let's a couple of other things. I know that there's been that the bill on some judicial reform, or not judicial, but again, education reform that has been going back and forth. It's come to the Senate. You guys have sent it back to the, I think it came from the House to the Senate, back to the House, back. You guys have been going back and forth with that, making some changes, some adjustments in that, fine-tuning, pretty much?
Yeah. You know, there that was, again, another sensitive topic, and it It has bounced over to the House for the last time, and it sounds like the House is probably just going to pass this version. Otherwise, it would go to conference. And I've yet to see a situation where an issue has gone to a conference committee, and I'm not sure exactly how that works. But the one difference between the House and the Senate was alternative teacher licensure reform. Mm-hmm. In the Senate's bill, we wanted civics test requirements. So that was something Senator Bain was passionate about, and I was in agreement as well, but the House didn't like that. And also with the BOE, there were some reforms with that, and that the House wanted that the Senate didn't take up. And so it was kind of interesting to see that bounce back and forth, and I kind of lost track of it after a while since I'm not mm-hmm. on Education Committee. But I believe at the end of the day, the big thing that people will talk about is that the school is going to have a long time to prepare for this, but they will need to post on their website a list of books that are available to the students, and also outline a process by which books can be removed, and just make that very clear to the parents as to what that looks like. And we should be seeing the House pass the final version here soon.
Okay. Some things that you had been working on, how did they fare? Are they still there? Did you get them through? What's happened with some of the things that you had been working on?
Well, one of my personal bills was divorce and college tuition, and within the code, there was some language that was put in 1970 that courts may order parents to and the child to split three ways the college tuition for the child within a divorce agreement. And back in 1970, divorces and college tuition was low, and obviously now divorce rate and college tuition is high. And what that does is it increases the potential for harassment to take place. And what that looks like is somebody that's more well off will challenge this and before a judge, and the judge. If one of the spouses just doesn't make a lot of money, or single mother that doesn't make a lot of money, they will be fair and usually not order the college tuition to be paid. But nevertheless, those attorney fees are still there for that person to have to pay. And I've heard cases about this, and so I thought it would be nice to strike that out. Well, what happened was we passed out of the Senate and went over to Judiciary Committee in the House. And they ended up killing all the Senate bills during that property tax the eminent domain debacle, and so I have good relationships over there with the members on that committee, and I was able to find a way to amend it to a Senate bill that should be coming on the floor next week, and be able to pass it over to the House that way. And so that they can vote it on the floor and get it to the governor's desk. And so that was a really learning experience for me, both in politics and policymaking and how the process works. And so that fared okay. And one thing that I've been passionate about is Convention of States.
Yep.
Resolution. That is one issue that somewhat divides our base, and that's reflected within the legislature. And so I've been whipping votes in the Senate for that. And I believe I'm right there. If we needed to bring it to the floor, I think we could. But it sounds like the House is quite a bit further behind in the support of that. So I don't foresee any movement on that issue, at least for this session. But so those would be the top two things that on my personal bucket list that I can highlight. But this week was very interesting with other high-profile bills like the Youth Employment Bill.
Yeah.
The House was supposed to take that up today, and it sounds like they might wait on that at least a week. But that's what kept us up till 5 in the morning the other night. And just a lot of misinformation about that bill. And I thought we did some common sense rule changes to just allow students more flexibility to make more money if they want, and there's dignity in work, and we shouldn't be preventing students from earning more money if that's what they desire.
Yeah, had a lot of appointments you went through too.
Yeah, this week was I would say half the workload this week was governor appointee positions, which is the responsibility of the Senate. We haven't had as many appointees as I've seen before. But we did appoint two new members to the IUB board. So those are high profile positions. But for the most part, it's been smooth sailing. I haven't heard, I don't think there's too much disagreement on any of the members. The Republicans have a supermajority, which means we don't need the Democrat votes to pass an appointee. And that could be a reason why that there hasn't been as much debate about these appointments as well.
Takes, if I recall, 34 to vote a 34 to do it. And you had one at 34, another at 37, but those were probably the closest ones you had. So,
Yeah.
And Mr. Aldis, by the way, was, even before you guys had confirmed him, had come up to visit Boone and take a look at the EDGE program and find out a little bit more about that. So,
Oh, cool. That's a state-of-the-art program, and all schools statewide, I believe, are aware of that program, and so I'm proud of Boone leading the way on that.
All right. Well, sounds like you got more hurry up and get things done before and wait while people negotiate out some differences. A lot of coming to the floor to get them, try to push them through and get done. Well, that's what we're going to be looking at next week.
Yeah, so there's still going to be some policy items. Ways and Means still has some bills that they need to pass out. I have a couple personal bills I'm pushing, trying to get out of there. Some food freedom language that would clarify in code as far as what some of the rules around homemade processing restaurants, home food processing restaurants, what they can do and not do. Last year, I was able to raise the cap on how much they can make for bakery items and things like that. But in the rules process, they made it so that, unfortunately, that when it comes to hot items, that you can only sell them if they are 41 degrees or below, which if you're going to somebody's place to buy some enchiladas or something, I'm pretty sure you don't want to buy them frozen. So that wasn't the intent of the bill. So I've got some cleanup language in there, and as well as Lake Panorama, which is new to the District 24. Mm-hmm. They need some date changes when it comes to sanitary districts and their reporting to make it easier on them. And so that's another bill I got my eye on that needs to come out of Ways and Means for next week.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking time to visit with us. I know it's still busy. You got things you're working through. And we look forward to keeping updated on how things are progressing as we get towards the end of the session. Thank you.
You bet. And also, if anybody has some time, Mike Pence is going to be over at the Wild Rose Casino on Saturday at noon, and I get the honor to speak before him for about 15 minutes and highlight some of the great things happening in the state, and I'm truly honored to do that. So if anybody's looking for something fun to do, there's that for an option.
All righty, State Senator Jesse Green, our guest on the program today. We'll look forward to visiting with you next time.
You bet. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jim.